Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. In Romans 4:17, the Word of God says that God who quickens the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were. God calls those things that are not as though they were. Why? Because in Hebrews 4:3, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So it is perfectly reasonable for God, who can see the end from the beginning, to call those things that are not as though they were. In my life, I have to realize that I am not my experience. I am the final outcome. My life is not what it is now. My life is what God has made it to be and what will come. I can be a completely victorious believer and experience isolated times of failure. David had a really good grasp of this. David referred to himself as a just man, as a righteous man, as a man with integrity. But if you look at the details of David's life, you would not call him any of those things. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David refers to himself according to these things. Why? Because David knew that the works were finished from the foundation of the world, and that God calls those things that are not as though they are. In our lives, we need to call those things that are not as though they are. It is possible for me to look at myself and see what is not. But God looks at me and sees what is. It is possible for me to look at myself and see failure, insecurity, emotionalism, fear, pride, whatever it may be. But God does not see those things. God sees what is, not what is not. How can I say that those things are not if they are my experience? If your experience is not of God, then the blood of Christ removes your experience. The blood of Christ cleanses my conscience, cleanses my memory, cleanses my thinking. I mix faith with the blood of Christ and I start calling things which are not as though they were. I may see my own weakness, but I proclaim God as my strength. I may see that in myself I can do nothing, but I proclaim that through Him I can do all things who strengthens me. And so, God calls those things that are not as though they are. I call those things that are, and all too often say they are not. It is very possible for me to do that if I am not thinking with the mind of God. In 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 15, the Word of God says, "And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. And this is why I do not know any man after the flesh. because Christ died and I died in Him. Christ died and other people have died in Him. And so I do not know myself after the flesh, and I do not know anyone else after the flesh. Because Christ died and I died in Him. But not only did He die, He rose again. And not only did I die, I rose with Him. And so in Galatians 2:20, the life that I now live, I don't live, but Christ lives that life. That life is now Christ. This is why I know no man after the flesh, including myself, including another person. It is a devastating thing to know anyone after the flesh. You see, in 15 of that verse, they which should not henceforth live unto themselves. We do not live unto ourselves, but unto God. We do not live unto ourselves, but unto what is finished. We do not live unto the things as they are, but unto the things as they will be. And in fact are now in eternity. The only reason why I don't experience my position is because I have not entered it through faith yet. But the fact of the matter is, it is who I am. And I could enter into that at any given moment. It does not take a long process to believe and enter into who I am. It really simply requires believing who I am. And that doesn't take more than a moment. I enter into what I believe. But I don't live the life of God if I do not believe the finished work. You see, what happens to us sometimes is that we recognize that we have not apprehended, or we recognize that somebody else has not apprehended. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I forget the weaknesses and I forget the failures. I forget the insecurities. I forget all the things that are not of God. No, I know that I have not yet apprehended. But I forget them anyway. When I fail, I forget it." I must never, as a believer, forget to forget just because I have not apprehended. I must never, as a believer, forget to forget just because another person has not apprehended. It can happen to us that while we are washed in the blood, that we see the faults of another. That while we are washed in the blood, we can look at someone and say, this is how they ought to be, and they are not. Perhaps we see someone sin, or perhaps we see someone who is weak. And we say, this is not good, it ought not be. And we forget that they are who they are by the grace of God. It is possible for us to see and say, this should not be. And then to stand in judgment of what is. And we say what is, but God doesn't do that. God calls those things that are not as though they were. It's called the finished work. As a believer, I live in the finished work. I may see something in my brother or in my sister, but I forget. I don't become angry about it, that they have a flaw, but I forget. I forget their flaw. Because I see who they really are, who God has made them to be. Sometimes we say, this person has done this, and we get angry. But we fail the grace of God, and we have done far worse by doing so. And in my anger, I can express my anger and be unkind. And then I fail the love of God and do far worse by doing so. It is very possible for me to enter into the sins that God hates the most because I won't think about another as God sees them. When I judge a brother, I trample the blood. When I see someone failing and get angry at them for failing, I trample the blood. That's far worse than their failure. Christ died for that failure. Christ died for that weakness. I must not trample the blood. The reason why Israel will have the time of Jacob's trouble is because they rejected the blood. Now, as a believer, I can never go there. But as a believer, there's my own peril in trampling the blood. In Romans chapter 2, the Word of God says that if I stand in judgment of my brother, that I am now guilty of the same things. So I cannot be the one to judge another man's servant, even if in my estimation the servant is wrong. But it is not for me to decide if the servant is wrong. It is for his master, not for me. We have to be extremely careful as believers because this is a natural tendency in human beings. Don't judge your brother. Don't be angry at people for how they are or what they do. Your anger is a greater sin than their failure. Because it is a sin against the grace of God. Don't be hurt by other people's perhaps need to grow. They are what they are by God's grace. And perhaps what appears to me as a need to grow is simply a simplicity of childlike faith, and they're not sophisticated as I am. They don't enter into the greater sin. You see, as a believer, I have to call those things that are not as though they are. I don't deal with myself and I don't deal with another person after the flesh. I deal with them according to what God has made them to be. I don't get angry because somebody does something. That's not my place. It is presumption for me to be angry at a brother. And remember, presumption is the great transgression. Often as believers, we can enter into sins that are far beyond what we are judging. And yes, maybe they are mistakes that a believer is making. And yes, maybe they ought not be so. But is that my job? To stand in judgment of my brother? Or is that God's job to apply mercy to my brother until he has transformed him? If a person can enter into that judgment, it is a sign of familiarity with the grace of God. If a person who's learned the finished work can be angry about another person's weakness, It's a sign of familiarity with the finished work. If a person who has received love can then condemn, it's a sign of familiarity with love. Be careful. We must not enter those places because they are great transgressions. A sin committed in self-righteousness is far worse than one committed in weakness. Proverbs chapter 6 tells us this. And so I have to be careful. If I see even a mistake on another person's part, if I see somebody's weaknesses, if I see someone's insecurities or shortcomings, don't judge them and don't be angry about them. What do? I initiate the character of God. That's what I do. You see, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance, not my anger. I have not been given a ministry of anger, but of reconciliation. And so, when I judge a believer according to what I can see in that believer's life, I left my very purpose in the body of Christ. I've judged grace. I've judged the finished work. I've judged the blood of the Lamb. But the blood of the Lamb removes that person's mistakes. And we may say to ourselves, what if they continue in them? What is that to you? In Romans 14:4, a man stands or falls before God, and stand he will. So what does it say? Who are you to judge another man's servant? What is that to you? If a person is weak, pray for them. If I have it in my heart to become angry, and I don't know mercy, if I become angry about another person's shortcoming or a mistake or a sin, then the problem is not in that person. The problem is in my own heart. Often when that happens, sin will be added unto sin. And I will be angry and I will start expressing that anger. Well, is that the love of God? Doesn't the Word of God say in 1 Corinthians 13:4 that love is first patient and then it is kind? In response to another person's failure, am I patient and kind toward that person? Well, you don't understand. This is what they did. So will you respond to it with the fruit of the Spirit? Is it that my flesh can change yours? You see, my flesh is so good now that I can correct everybody else's flesh. But sometimes we do this as believers. It's not uncommon in Christianity. It's just unwise. My flesh is no more good than your flesh. My sin is no less and no greater than yours, unless you simply sin and I enter into presumption. See, the sins of Proverbs chapter 6 were all the products of presumption, and they were the ones that God hated most. So I cannot presume against the finished work. I cannot presume against grace. I cannot presume against the blood of the Lamb, because the blood has cleansed. The blood has cleansed. See, this is why in Romans 2 it says, do you despise the riches of God's goodness? Because it's the same riches that are applied toward you as towards another person. If I cannot apply the riches of God's goodness to you, in application, it will not be applied to me. Because as I forgive, so shall I be forgiven. So I will not have that experience. And as we've taught in the past, that if I fail to forgive, that is that I will remember your sins and hold you in bondage to them. Have you ever met somebody who says, this is what you did, and now you're not the same? No. The real word is, you've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I don't remember what you did. Do you understand what presumption is? Presumption is when I assume something against the finished work. When I assume that I can live apart from the character of God. When I can assume that my righteousness is righteous enough to judge a brother. Then I live in the great transgression. This is why the Word of God tells us that Christ gave a new commandment in John 13:34. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Well, how has He loved me? He went to the cross for me. Go to the cross for your brother. He shed His blood for me. Apply the shed blood to your brother. He died for me. Apply the payment to your brother. And you will love him as I have loved you. It didn't say like him, and it didn't say feel affection. You see, we believers often think love is still an affection. We still, though we have been taught better, think it is an emotion. Well, I don't like what they are doing. Well, God hates sin. But He is still patient and kind towards the sinner. He still sent His Son to die for the very thing that He hates. He was still patient and kind towards the sinner. As a believer, I have to learn how to live in the finished work toward myself and then toward other people. I cannot say you are like this and I am angry. Do you do well to be angry? Do you do well to add your sin to theirs if they have even sinned? And in that anger I have actually committed two. I walked by sight and I failed grace. And now I am expressing it. And you're angry. Are you building your relationships or tearing them down when you are angry? This is why anger is such a devastatingly destructive thing. It tears down. Now, this isn't a condemning message, nor is it meant to be. But it is about how do we live with one another? How do I as a man live with imperfect people? People who do fail. People who are insecure. People who do doubt. People who do have areas of need in their lives. How do I live with them? Well, it's really very simple. How do they live with me? If I ask myself, how can I put up with you? You are like so. The real question is, how can you put up with my self-righteousness? We do not live in these things. We call those things that are not as though they are. If I see weakness in someone, I say that person will grow and it will be their strength. If I see failure in someone, then I know that God will reveal His grace in that failure. I don't get angry and sin more. I have to be careful as a believer to recognize that I stand before God, not just them. I stand before God alone. My responses stand before God alone. What did I do with the blood stands before God alone. And there will be not one finger pointed in eternity. Reality will be exposed as it is. And God will ask, were you patient and kind? Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. What do I do if I have to say no? Then confess your sin, and He will be faithful and just to forgive your sin. And that's the end of that deal. Now I am condemned. Then confess your sin, and there is no reason to be condemned. Your sin has been forgiven. What did Jesus say to the woman in adultery? Go and sin no more. He didn't say to her, okay, now you have to undo your adultery. No, He took care of her adultery. But He said to her, go and sin no more. If I am someone who walks apart from the finished work, then don't do it anymore. It's that simple. You can't undo what you've done in the past. You just don't need to continue doing it. And the moment you confess it to God, you're completely forgiven. You see, if I don't forgive, I will be held in bondage, not to my mistakes, but to those of another person. How many believers are held in bondage to the sins of another person? Because they would prefer to keep that person in prison when God has set them free. Well, as you judge, so shall you be judged. If you have forgiven, you will be forgiven. If you have not, you will not. If you despise the riches of God's goodness, you will not experience the riches of God's goodness. So it is much better for me to call things that are not as though they were. Because that's what is right with God. Now the Word of God says that it is of faith that it might be of grace. To the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. In other words, I trust the Word of God for my life, but I also trust the Word of God for your life. And that is how I can apply grace to your life. How is it that someone can see another person fail and not be outraged because they believe grace? Why is it that I am angry if I see another person fail? Because I'm living in the law. And the law is in my own mind, but not even consciously so. But the law is in my own mind, my standard. That what I do determines whether how I am or who I am or my worth. But that is not of God. The strength of sin is in the law. The strength of sin in someone's life is in the law applied to them. But remember something. If I apply the law to someone's life, it's the strength of sin in my life. Because then I won't forgive. Then I will require a righteousness that I cannot attain. Then I require a performance that I cannot perform. Then I start asking people for things that I cannot produce. But that's not how God is. And that's not the way He does things. There are things that are, and there are things that are not. God calls the things that are not as though they were. And He forgets the things that are. As a believer, it is far better for me to forget what was and press toward the mark. Look ahead towards the calling and press toward the mark. If you see a flaw in a brother, who are you to judge another man's servant? God Himself would not call the devil flawed. Instead, mix faith with the grace of God. Mix faith with the mercy of God. Mix faith with the goodness of God. Don't become angry, but mix faith with the blood of Christ. Mix faith with eternity and with reality and what is in eternity, not what is in time. Because time will pass away and eternity will remain. What you mix faith with is what you put stock in. I would rather put my stock in what cannot be lost than put it in what cannot be kept. Call those things that are not as though they were. And don't rely on your sight to evaluate anything. Because remember, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And they didn't get unfinished at any time. So I operate in what is, because what is eternal. I don't operate in what appears to be, but in truth is not. Amen.